killers, murderers, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, 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 and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. I am Danny, and I'm joined with... That's correct. And today's quite a... Well, if you haven't heard, this topic has been taking social media by storm. A recent documentary came out on, I think it was HBO Max, I could be mistaken, called Quiet on Set. Now, the documentary takes a look at the problematic working environment of the kids' TV show production company, Nickelodeon. Now, personally, as a child, I actually never watched Nickelodeon. I was more a Disney girl and a Boomerang girl, so I actually don't really know the shows or the actors. But nevertheless, that doesn't make what was done to them any less horrific. Did you watch Nickelodeon as a kid?
A little bit. I think here and there, because I'm trying to think, what would I have watched?
There was Sam and Cat, Victorious, iCarly.
I did watch a lot of iCarly. I also watched Victorious. I think I did watch Nickelodeon as a kid. I pretty much watched everything. Disney, Nickelodeon.
Drake and Josh.
I'm not sure about that. Maybe. Disney, Nickelodeon...
Well, these child actors would have been our childhood because we grew up in the early 2000s. So these were the shows that, well, I know myself and Glory would have been watching because we grew up in those days. But this investigation documentary is called Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. And it is a four-part series about working at Nickelodeon, including the environment under the former producer Dan Schneider, and what was described as harmful situations that child actors and adult employees were put in. Schneider, who was parted ways with Nickelodeon in 2018, doesn't appear in the docuseries, but former writers, child stars, staff, and journalists paint a picture of the environment at the network starting in the 1990s through to his departure. Schneider responded to the series on with a video on YouTube, and I quote what he said: "Watching over the past two nights has been very difficult. Me facing my past behaviors, some of which are embarrassing and that I regret, and I definitely owe some people a pretty strong apology." And this was a 20-minute video posted onto his YouTube channel. In response to producers' questions, the documentary said Nickelodeon stated that the network investigates all formal complaints as part of their commitment to fostering a safe and professional workplace, and has adopted numerous safeguards over the years to help ensure that they are living up to their own high standards and expectations of their audience. So they've basically said that after all this happened and has come to light, they have been working to put in new procedures and stuff like that to protect employees and to protect the children. Now, I actually haven't watched this documentary. I would like to watch this documentary. From the clips I've seen on like TikTok and Instagram, the story is quite horrific. And specifically that it was happening to kids, I think makes it so much worse. But the first thing was that Drake Bell publicly spoke out about his abuse. Now, Brian Peck, who was a dialogue coach from Nickelodeon, was convicted of sexually abusing the Drake and Josh star, Drake Bell. His full name is Jared Drake Bell, right? Peck was arrested in 2003 in connection with sexual abuse of a teenager over a four-month period. In 2004, Peck pleaded no contest to two felonies, according to public records. At the time of the abuse, Bell was 15 and Peck was 41. Okay. Bell in court was identified as John Doe. So they actually kept his name out of the trial while it was happening. And so this documentary, and when he spoke out, was the first time that Drake Bell had actually spoke about this experience. Bell describes meeting Peck on set and becoming friendly with him. And he quotes, "Brian and I were becoming very close because we had a lot of shared interest, which looking back seems calculated." It was Bell's father, Joe Bell, who first felt that something was inappropriate about Peck's interest. Joe said in the documentary that he took his concerns to the producers, but he was dismissed because they said, well, because Peck is gay, you're just being homophobic to him. So his claims were thrown out the window, that he thought now something was happening with his son. Joe contends that Peck could sense his suspicions, and Peck purposely then drove a wedge between the father and son, telling Drake that his father was stealing his money and shouldn't be his manager anymore. Bell said the abuse began when Peck offered to drive him to auditions since his mother didn't like to drive. He would have multiple days of auditions in a row, and so Peck suggested that Bell slept over at his house. One day when Bell was 15, he said he woke up on the couch to being sexually assaulted by Peck. When the producers of the documentary series asked Bell if he would share, he said, and I quote, "Why don't you imagine the worst thing someone could do to someone as sexual assault? I don't know how else to put it." Bell said he felt that it was a secret and couldn't share, and that the abuse continued until one day he told his mother and she took everything to the police, and the police were able to then get a confession out of Peck. So, I mean, that's quite a traumatic story. I mean, this is a kid, 15 years old. And like, I can't even imagine being in that situation. I mean, it's one thing to have it once off to, but have it going on for such a long time is actually just,
yeah,
shocking. But the problem was that Brian Peck was quite widespread amongst Hollywood figures. So Kyle Sullivan, a former cast member from All That, which was a Nickelodeon show, said that Peck was beloved despite the red flags. He even played Pickle Boy, who was a recurring character on several Nickelodeon shows, and a lot of his skits had sexual undertones. When Peck was arrested, Sullivan said producers gathered cast members together after a table read to tell them most were shocked. At Peck's sentencing, Drake Bell said that Peck's side of the courtroom was filled with supporters, whereas his own side was just his parents. So people were literally supporting the rapist, basically, and not the victim. And so in the documentary series, it also recounts that celebrities, including Jay Mardson, Alan Thicke, and Taron Killman, had written letters to support Peck. And even the husband and wife directing duo, Beth and Rich Coral, wrote letters in support of Peck and even hired him on Disney Channel to work on The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody after his conviction. You telling me, Disney, you literally hired someone who had been convicted of sexually assaulting a minor and you still hired him to work on a project?
That's crazy.
That's messed up. That's mental.
Yeah.
Like, that is, I don't even have words for that, because that in itself is a criminal offense. Now, I understand giving people second chances, but this guy hasn't even served time in, well, I don't know if it was after or before he served time in prison, but I mean, you know, this guy has, give him a second chance working at, I don't know, the docks fishing, not working again with children. Are you mad? Some of the people who wrote letters of support to Peck have actually regretted writing them and have made public apologies to Drake and his family, saying,
yeah,
now that the time has passed, they realized how wrong it was to support him. And so it was also quite scary because Brian Peck was not the only one who worked at Nickelodeon that were convicted of sexual offenses. This is another thing. Background checks, are they not a thing? I don't understand how these people got hired in the first place. But anyway, the mother of one child actor, Brandy, who was on All That, recounts meeting Jason Handy, who was the production assistant, who was mostly in charge of accompanying the young cast members and their parents around set. The mother, identified only as MJ, says that Handy asked for her daughter's email address, and then he sent her a photo of himself naked, touching himself.
What?
Yeah. Like, imagine getting, like, you're a 14-year-old girl and you get an email and you open this picture. Little throw my phone down the toilet. Just saying. Though MJ didn't report this to the police, she said the authorities learned about another instance of inappropriate behavior, and when they searched Handy's house, they found a large amount of child sexual abuse imagery, 10,000 images of children.
Wow.
10,000. Okay. Kate Taylor, a reporter at Business Insider who collaborated on the docuseries, noted that the police also found diaries where Handy had written, and I quote from his own handwriting, "I am a pedophile, full blown." I don't even have words. I don't understand how he's not in jail. And now they want to bring pedophilia as a sexual orientation. People must have come here with their nonsense. Honestly. Handy was arrested in 2003, just 4 months before Peck's arrest. In 2004, he was sentenced to 6 years in prison after pleading no contest to one count of lewd acts on a child, one count of sexual exploitation of a child, and one... I'm just saying count. I'm realizing it's count. One count of disturbing sexually explicit material by email to a minor. According to the court records, he is currently in federal prison for a later conviction. Well, he deserves to sit there for the rest of his miserable life, if you ask me. Additionally, in 2009, Easel Channel, an animator at Nickelodeon, was sentenced to 7 years and 4 months for committing lewd acts on a 14-year-old boy and showing him pornography on set. Channel was already a convicted sex offender when he was hired by the network. And that's what I don't understand. He had a sexual offender record and they still hired him to work on a child's network. Like, do you see how wrong that is?
I don't, like, I'm really trying to make sense of it, but anyhow you look at it, it doesn't make sense. It's just like...
Honestly, it is like asking a person who stole mangoes from your store to work at the store. Doesn't make any sense. That's just my opinion. Anyway, now... The staff members of Nickelodeon also come out and described details of sexism and sexual harassment. And under Schneider's leadership, two staff writers of all that, Christy Stranton and Jenny Kilgan, say that there were many instances of blatant sexism and sexual harassment. They were hired as a pair, so two females, and were given one writer's salary to share. Okay. Whereas the men on the staff would get full salary. Kilgan also said Schneider would play pornography on television in the writer's room and tell her that if she gave him a massage, he would put her sketches on air. I'm not going to lie. I would have walked out that day. I would have handed my resignation in. I would have been like, thank you so much. I am leaving.
That was fun working for you.
Fun. That is honestly, like, I don't even have words for how disgusting that is. Right? So, Kilgan describes that one time Schneider made Stratton pitch her sketch, which is obviously like an episode idea, while pretending to be involved in a sexual act. Walked out the door. Not even walked out the door. I would have gone straight to the police. Although I don't know if that's exactly a crime, but I would have still gone to the police. A statement included in the documentary said Schneider denied all of these claims. In addition, a costume designer, actors, parents, and others cited multiple occasions in which young women would be standing behind Schneider on set massaging him. Karen Finley Thompson, an editor of All That, described a time when she was promised a promotion, but then Schneider instead gave it to a man who had no previous working credits. Kilgan says she later filed a gender discrimination lawsuit against the production company behind The Amanda Show, and she says the company settled the suit. And apparently also the cast members shared uncomfortable on-set experiences. I'm going to name a few, but for the child cast members, even though some of Nickelodeon's more inappropriate jokes went over their heads, they said that they were aware that they were being put in uncomfortable situations. So obviously, I don't know if you've ever watched kids shows when you're an adult. You're an adult. There are some like inappropriate jokes that like little kids don't understand.
Yeah.
But like these child actors said they were actually made to do quite disturbing things. So Sullivan, a child actor who appeared on All That, spoke about some Fear Factor inspired sketches involving an actor lying in a bathtub with earthworms or would had a dog lick peanut butter off their body. So no, they'd like cover them in peanut butter, right? They were taking something that existed in an adult context and morphing it into something for children, and it was very inappropriate. There was also a child actor named Brian Hearn, who was a black actor, and they made him his first sketch he was involved in. He had to play a drug dealer, which his mom thought was a little bit racist. So she filed a claim against that. But I know there were some very disturbing stories. Like I said, I haven't watched the documentary, but I've been watching bits and pieces online. And there was, for example, one thing they said there was, I think it's Dan Schneider, he had like a obsession with feet. And so there were some very inappropriate, like, you'd see in the shows, feet were always focused on, in a sense. And so, like, it was very inappropriate. Or I know, for example, there is the actor, I can't remember her name. She is from iCarly. She played Sam. She went through quite a mental break after leaving Nickelodeon. They offered her $300,000 hush money after she left.
What? I would have made them pay me more.
Wow. But you see, this is the thing, is so many of the actors did take hush money, and now the people who didn't are finally speaking out. And, you know, this isn't the first. There's actually quite a lot coming out now. I know there's a star from That's So Raven, the best friend, the orange-haired best friend. Her NDA, I think, is coming to an end, and so she's speaking about stuff at Disney. I know the mom from Sweet Life of Zack and Cody is speaking out about some of the stuff that happened at Disney. So a lot of these child star actors are coming out because really they worked in such toxic environments. I know, and I think that's the reason that so many child actors come out so messed up. I mean, Lindsay Lohan, Miley Cyrus, Demi Lovato, they all came out a little bit cooked in the head, if you ask me. But it's because of what they experienced on these sets and in these shows. And it's quite traumatizing, actually. And I'd actually like to watch this documentary. Like I said, I want to get the full picture. But it is honestly terrifying that this happened to kids. And it honestly made me be like, from now on, all kids' TV should just be cartoons, because no kid should be involved in the process so that they can't be hurt. Because this is absolutely ridiculous. I even always remember the story of Judy Garland. She played Dorothy in the original Wizard of Oz. I mean, they gave her pills because they thought she was overweight, and she ended up then overdosing because she got addicted to pills. I mean, that production company, in my opinion, should be held accountable for what they did to her, just like these production companies should be held accountable for what happened to these kids. I mean kids should be protected. I mean, even at schools, kids are our future. And I feel like it's just traumatizing to find out that while us as children were enjoying these shows and getting so much joy out of these shows, these actors were literally going through hell producing them. That just makes me sick. But that is the dark side of kids' TV. Like I said, the story is all over the internet. So if you would like to go and do more research or look into it, it is currently blowing up everywhere. So go have a look at that. But otherwise, we will see you next time. Goodbye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.